The night sky closed in. The moon shivered cold. Flickering light shimmered on wolves prowling the marsh. Edenhurst Village, a population of 100 poverty-stricken families. It was late. Children were told bedtime stories. Fathers changed into protective attire, readying themselves for the march. Each wore something damned, stitched with innocent memories of the dead. The days of endless mourning were now only a dream. Smoked ash from burnt-out buildings rose from cobblestone ground. Once the plague had taken hold, everything needed to burn. Nothing diseased could remain. All traces of humanity were expunged. Immortality was their only hope when faced with the dreaded curse. That's what the village priest called it. Everybody else knew different, even if they didn't dare speak of it. March of the Midnight Crow by Leah Crowley. Dominic and his family, two daughters and a son, were descended from Roman Catholic stock. They had the strictest of upbringings. Every morning they would attend their parish church at 5 o'clock, thoroughly washed and dressed, never leaving home without Bible in hand. It was their protection from mental discouragement, their cleansing. The good book was with them at all times. Disobeying their father was one thing, but to disobey the Holy Father would lead to vicious consequences. Their parents worshipped the incumbent Pope to a fault. From outside in the courtyard came the sound of squealing pigs, the clucks of chickens on the loose as they snuffled and pecked their way through the stale and infested garbage. Dominic headed to his bedroom. Basic, a thin mattress resting on an iron frame, lying in the centre of this small, boxed room. Displayed above the bed was a large pictorial representation of God. Either side sat two small chests of drawers containing his clothing. Against the wall, a plain wooden closet filled with identical masks and robes, crow-like and powerful. They were a blessing. The fragrance they held, lemon and mint, wafted through the house, a protection against the miasmatic air. He would admit to feeling fear the first time he wore his doctor's outfit. It was hot and dark and difficult to breathe in. Who knew what the cursed must have felt, seeing his great beaked head looming into view as he conducted his examinations? His role was prestigious, but he was an isolated man, unable to interact fully with society. The curse had a way of following a man. He could not risk spreading the contagion further. Tonight would be hectic. Dominic was to draw blood from a family of five. They had already been quarantined, forbidden from leaving their dwelling. He was upset, not because of the task ahead, but because his youngest daughter, Helena, was unwell, a rare and horrific pox. 6 years old, but she was living on borrowed time. Was this God's punishment for defying the curse? He walked into Helena's room. There she lay, within her own sodden sheets, weakened by disease, but her innocent face was held in a reflective moment, rapturous lucidity. His heart raced like anguished lightning to see his beloved daughter like this, defenceless and doomed. It was breaking him.
"Daughter, I must leave soon. Another family requires healing. Remember, I love you with all of my heart. Pope Clement and the other Holy Fathers will protect you in my absence."
"Please don't go,"
Helena called. "I must. It is important." We have to stop this.
Dominic was becoming emotional. He didn't know if his daughter would survive the night. She was so weak now. He wiped a tear and turned away from her. She should not see him like this. He headed back to his room to complete his preparations. The march would begin soon, and blood would be let. Despair clouded his thoughts. He opened his closet. The terrifying-looking beak-shaped mask, made from tough leather, hung above his other mysterious garments. He held it between his fingers and tilted it towards him. The beak needed to be filled. There was an opening designed to take scented blooms and chemicals. He went back downstairs to fetch vinegar and sweet-oiled ingredients. Helena's pained cries clutched at him through the still air as he retrieved these necessities. He hoped his other daughter, Ruth, could sleep through it. She had suffered too much already. It was the dead of night. Last week alone, this dreaded curse had destroyed more than 2,000 souls. When Pope Clement heard this news, he shrugged and damned the whole area. Nobody touched by the plague could be spared. That was his edict. Dominic headed back up to his room with his gatherings. As he entered, there came a sudden commotion from inside the closet. He opened it to discover the cause, and lying there, on the floor, were crimson glass eyepieces, standing out from their metal frames, looking up at him. They had the piercing stare of a carnal hunting bird with a thirst for blood. Chilling to look upon, yet these too were protective instruments, insusceptible to this evil plague. Dominic grabbed his leather breeches and stepped into them. He placed the waxed canvas gown over his head and securely tightened it under his armpits, around his neck and waist. He turned his head away slightly, overpowered by a stale suet odour. The noisome residue had been rubbed into his costume to mask the smells of the suffering and the rotten corpses of the unburied dead. He gazed at the crow-like mask for a moment of clarity, placed it upon his trembling face. He picked up the red-eyed glasses and secured them to his nose, fetched the dark overcoat and wrapped it around his shoulders, gently fastening the buttons. He donned his leather hat and soft gloves, and then he stared into the small mirror located on the side of the closet. His religious life faded into another world, his reflection a healing masquerade. The time of judgment was almost upon him. Dominic picked up his wooden cane and fastened it onto his belt. It too was there for his protection, but not from the curse. He hoped he would not need it. Ravens could be heard from the woodland, crying out for a nocturnal salvation. The villagers said that these birds gave blessing, though others said they were the souls of the deceased, the diseased. There came a knock at the door, which echoed through the house. Dominic walked down the wooden staircase, squeaking in his leather, and traces of scented oils and herbs followed behind him. A crowded flock of plague doctors waited in the front courtyard, silent as the autumn breeze. Fierce black ravens perched on roofs, looking on expectantly, ready for the dark-shadowed march. Many of the townsmen had gathered solemnly for this eerie evening, their choices stark: to save what was left of their villages, or allow the Black Death to consume them all. Their wives and families suffered in their own way, isolated and ignorant in the hands of fate. For a moment, Dominic stood distracted. He couldn't move his mind from Helena's suffering, yet his duty compelled him on. All he could do was pray that they would be reunited once again, on earth or in heaven. They marched down the echoing streets, this black brigade of destruction. Animals fled from the shadows, panicked, seeking safer places. The flickering autumn moon shone down, but scattered grey clouds cloaked the dark figures as they set about their work. Dominic and the priest arrived at the first house. Two loud knocks with his clenched fist shook the worn-out frame.
We are the flightless saviours from God. Answer, and you too can be saved.
Silence. The flock scattered and fluttered the wings of their blacked-out guises at the doors of the other houses, searching for every cursed soul. None would escape capture this night. The plague must be burned out. Dominic stared up at the hatched window. A little girl stood looking down, her fist in her teeth. She could have been his. They looked so similar. The priest, standing next to him, cane in hand, banged fiercely upon the door, breaking both hinges. The girl screamed and ran downstairs as the two haunting crowmen barged into her home. In the front-facing room, two unwell souls lay upon a hammock, two more on the floor. Sweat began to suffocate the plague doctors in their heavy, protective clothing. The girl clutched her mother close. The woman was gaunt, withered, unresponsive. Murmuring sounds came with fear and confused pain. Those on the floor were already deceased. Dominic could tell that simply by poking his wooden cane at the bodies. The girl was the only one untouched. The curse had passed her by. She would have to be taken away into protective custody and sent to a workhouse, there to spend her remaining days. Dominic himself was ordered to be quarantined afterwards. There must be no possibility of him spreading the contagion. When the priest told him this, he keened, though his expression was like a muted boy. His whole life he had striven to guide and protect his family in God's good name, but also to be the most caring and loving of fathers. To be both, it seemed, meant a price to pay. His daughter would pass before he saw light again. He headed back outside into the courtyard where the plague doctors gathered once more, fluttering on the corpse of a faded nation. Dominic removed his mask and breathed in the air. The night was still, etched in sadness and memories of unspeakable evil. The midnight crows gazed into the blackened sky, raising their beaks as one, somberly searching for peace. March of the Midnight Crow was written by Leah Crowley and performed by Dion Winton Pollock. You can find the story in The Thread of the Infinite, Tales of Industrial Horror, published by Snowbooks. Links to the author, the publisher, and the books can be found in the show notes, along with attributions for the music and sound effects used. March of the Midnight Crow was a Fine-Toothed Comb production.